Taiwan special episode. Can you hear that? I can, it's a siren going by. Taiwan special episode 3 for the week. A couple things I wanted to say about Hong Kong. You know, I think in the first protest, it like, I don't know, a while back there was like, they said there was 100,000 people somewhere and the police only reported it as like 40,000 or something. Or they said it was 1 million people and the police only reported it as like 400,000 or something. So it was like, it was 40% that the, it was 38, I think it was. It was the police reported that only 38% of what was claimed actually turned out. Now, here's the concept and what I think about this. It's the Hong Kong police always misreport and underreport the numbers. When they have these huge protests, the Hong Kong police will say, well, it wasn't that many. There weren't that many people protesting coming out. Here's something to think about. My take, my unconventional Jesse take on the underreported police numbers from Hong Kong. If it really was only 380,000 people that turned out and not 1 million, then what the police did in response was certainly and all the more excessive force. That's what I think about this. This goes back. I should probably explain this a little bit. I know that the Taiwan special crowd is a stick to the issues crowd, so I promise I won't get off into this too much, but giving credit where due. There's a dynamic to thinking that. How does Jesse come up with that? If the numbers were as low as the police said, then it certainly was excessive force that they used. Then what they did wasn't that necessary. You know, okay. Where do I come up with that idea? Limbaugh would call it being absurd by being, or illustrating the absurd by being absurd. That's what Limbaugh would call it. Illustrating the absurd by being absurd. That's where I'd come up with a crazy idea like that. If the numbers are as low as the Hong Kong police always lie and say they are, then the Hong Kong police certainly used excessive force because they didn't need to do that against so few people. I think my dad would say, and Limbaugh explained this in his early years, within the first 5 years, when Limbaugh was just starting and dad was listening and talking about it all the time. Dad, I was a Rush baby, by the way. Dad and Limbaugh both would say, when someone says something that's ridiculous, you carry it over to the illogical extreme to illustrate the problem of it. Okay. I don't view it that way. I know what it is. And I'm not the first person to do this, but that's not how I view it. I view it as literally applying in a literal manner everything that someone says. That's all I do. I don't take something and carry it to an illogical extreme to make the point. I don't see it that way. I just apply everything. Take everything literally. I deal with, in fact, Trump was doing, this is something Trump was doing, and I really, really recognized it because I deal with implication stuff like this over here in Taiwan all the time. I meet people and they decide that Jesse doesn't know something. Right. Yeah. Okay. They've decided that Jesse's an idiot and they're going to take him to school. I run into this. And Trump was in the White House. Remember, he was doing the interview with Steffi Stephanopoulos, the baby face guy from the Clinton administration, like the first Clinton, well, the only Clinton administration. Darn it. Sorry, Hillary. There wasn't going to be a second. By the way, Monster has a new mango drink. It's great, and I don't make any money for it, but I'm thinking about putting Monster ads up there if I can get money for it. Okay, no, Monster, if you guys want to, like, you know, pay me for a spot, I'd do it. I'd be all for it. If I don't take extreme ideas, I just take an idea and I apply it literally to what someone says across the board in every way. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit dehydrated and my brain's slowing down. I meet people over here in Asia who would decide that I don't know something and they'd start implying, making implications. It's excuse me, they take what they want to say, and they couch it into a strange suggestion, and they try to be polite about how they say it, and they're flat out wrong. And I know what they're doing the whole time. And I'll just sit there and I'll respond literally to what they said. God, for the life of me, I can't think of an example. Jesus, would you please help me find an example? Okay, I'll give you credit for it, but I'm trying to think across it. No, I can't just record this before because I stream these live on Twitch, twitch.tv/JesseSteele. The podcasts are live and then aggregated. They're not edited. So if I actually say something wrong, it's actually considered, it is considered, yeah, if I said something wrong, it would be considered slander, not libel, because it is spoken live. Libel is prepared but I don't slander people. Example. I was, I remember there was someone at a church here in Asia, and there was, I think the pastor's niece had studied at Albert Mohler's University, or Albert Mohler's, the seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I mean, I don't really know Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, but I know Albert Mohler. Like, I met him, and that's the most I know about it. So I think about it, I think of him. He was our president. Really amazing guy, actually. Very, 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 very amazing. A lot of people don't know about him. But she was there while he was president, and I was new here in Asia, and I wanted to have friends. And so I just wanted to talk to her. I wanted to have coffee and talk with another Bible student. Well, they, in their shame culture, had so overprotected her and so isolated her that she was afraid to talk to other people. So I was, but they wouldn't talk to me and give me any reason at all. They just avoid me, which goes back to, I mean, among, like, in Asian culture, okay, that's not fun. In Christians, among Christians, that's unacceptable, because Christians are supposed to reach out, be friends, apologize, forgive, and not have these avoidances and shame nonsense among them. And if you have someone from one country who understands how to live happy and strong, and they come into another country where Christians don't know how to be happy and strong, they need to help those Christians become happy and strong, not accept the weakness that Jesus came to teach against. I did a video on that just today, recent in the vlog today. It was there was a mother, Asian, or shame is not a part of Asian culture. And this mother with her two boys, Taiwanese, sits there, and I gave a guided apology with the boys. Go watch the video where I explain, you teach people to apologize and forgive so they don't live like this. And she says, that's absolutely right. Taiwanese, she says, absolutely right. Saying that shame is just part of the Asian culture is an excuse. And as a Christian, she doesn't want to see it. But a lot of missionary teachers in the West will say, don't try to take the shame away from their Asian culture. It will fail. It's bad, but it has to stay there. You have to help keep it there, or you're interfering. And when in Rome, do as Rome, even sin, but don't sin. But with the Asian shame, that's different. That's what they say. It's a gross contradiction. And they're just basically surrendering to their failure is what it comes down to. And I won't do it. And now here's a Taiwanese mother who basically doesn't exist in their opinion, or she's an anomaly that doesn't matter and doesn't change anything, or they dismiss it somehow. So I got this shame culture. Well, I wanted to talk to this girl. I just wanted to talk. And I told, and no one ever came to me and said, Jesse, we've helped her become afraid. And in our culture, we want people to stay afraid. And so if she talks to you, she'll stop being afraid. And we're afraid of what might happen if that fails. And so we don't want you to talk to her. No one came to me and told me that. So, or anything like that. They just ignored me. Well, one of my friends was friends, kind of, I think he's a really good friend, but he's got a lot to learn. And I wish he knew more, but he's always been a friend for his part. But we haven't talked because we're away, and he doesn't talk to me if I don't go to Sunday morning, which I'm like, that's another discussion. But something like, I'd love to talk to him. I've just watched Hong Kong movies with the guy. But he said, you know, I told this friend, this girl won't talk to me. And he said, well, did you think that maybe there's a reason why? And I said, no, I didn't, because nobody would talk to me. And he didn't know what to say. And that's what I mean by taking people literally and responding to them literally. When someone comes to me with a cloaked response, and I had other people also about this girl, they'd say, maybe it's a, do you think there's a reason why? Do you know of a reason, you know, did you think there might be a reason why? I'd say, no, I don't, because nobody's told me. And that's, so like, they would look at me and they would say that what I'm doing is that I don't get and understand their implication. They would say, well, Jesse, when we tell you, did you think that maybe there's a reason? We're trying to make you think that maybe there's a reason, so you should think about this. And by me saying no, because they haven't talked to me, I'm saying no one has told me, because that would be the ethical thing. But they look at me and they think, oh, I'm not getting their implication game because they don't agree with me. Have I lost you on this? Have I lost you on this? All right. I don't know. Okay. At the risk of going on here, and I'm late here in the podcast, but Trump was in the Oval Office and he was talking about his financial records, saying that they were great and wonderful. They were huge and awesome and the best and the Trumpest ever. And his lawyer, or one of the lawyers who advises him or something, chief of staff or whatever, was over in the corner coughing at him, hacking, which high class people do as a way to tell someone else across the room that what they're doing is no good or they need to stop. My rich dad did that to me once. But it's like they do this. And Trump knew that he was, like, people, this wasn't a one-time thing. High-class people cough as a way of signaling each other to shut up. And that's what that cough was. And Trump didn't say, no, I'm not going to shut up. He said, why is he coughing? I don't want people coughing in the middle of my answer. Get him out of here for coughing in the middle of my answer. And a lot of people would say, Trump, you didn't get the point. He was coughing to shut you up. And Trump's answer would be, because I know I did the same thing. No, you don't get my point that you're wrong for trying to tell me to shut up about this when I should keep talking, because you don't know how these things work. And that is probably the best way to wrap up this week. See you next week.